Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Kaiju Carnage. I am your host, Cal the Kaiju Guy. So, what's up, everybody? I hope everyone's having a good Sunday morning. You know, based on, just going back to the episode that I posted yesterday, it was pretty cool that I had just said we had not gotten any rain whatsoever in, 2 months. And then just at some point yesterday, it rained only for 5 minutes, but it still rained. And let me tell you, it was it was pretty cool. All it did was really, after it made everything wet, it pretty much just turned everything around into a sauna pretty much. And, it just got a lot hotter, but still just to get a little bit of rain was pretty nifty. And in the forecast, we have a quote unquote cold front coming through that's going to lower things down a little bit. So maybe there's about to be some relief from the heat, at least a little bit of the heat here in Louisiana. But anywho, jumping back to the episode here, I'm here to discuss a film that I am quite fond of, that I really, really enjoyed, that I had been looking forward to for a good while, and that is Shin Kamen Rider. Now, whenever I did my episode on the original Kamen Rider series, you know, I pretty much gave my background concerning with Kamen Rider and all of that. There was an Americanized version of one of the seasons of Kamen Rider. I believe it was just simply called Masked Rider here in the States. Happened during the 90s, you know, because Power Rangers had, started this big boom that was take a Japanese tokusatsu show and use stock footage from that show, but reshoot a lot of the scenes and stuff to make it more American, have American protagonists and all of that kind of stuff. And Kamen Rider was one of the series that had that treatment done. And it had a show called Masked Rider. I believe that was the name of the show. And I had a few toys of it. Like I said in my episode where I talked about Kamen Rider, I was a stereotypical little boy. I liked I liked cars, trucks, monsters, robots, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, to me, a TV show of a guy that's dressed like a bug, he fights bad guys, and he rides a motorcycle, that's about as cool as it gets as far as I'm concerned. Whenever I was a little kid, you know, so I jumped on it. But unfortunately, like I've talked about before, I had very limited access to be able to watch any of the show. So I was aware of that show in particular. But at the time, I did not know that it was a part of a long running series and all of that until I was much older. And I was able to kind of get into Kamen Rider a little bit more, and then just here recently, I've gotten much more into Kamen Rider, and I've gone back to revisit a lot of the different series and all of that in there. So, even though I didn't have a whole lot of exposure to it whenever I was a kid, Kamen Rider is something that has been, you know, with me ever since I was a little kid, even though I didn't exactly know what it was at the time whenever I was a little kid. And I was very much looking forward to this film whenever it got announced. Pumped, like there's no tomorrow. But, you know, I was also super pumped for Shin Ultraman. We all know how I feel about that garbage of a movie. But, so I was very concerned walking into this one because, you know, I was I really enjoyed Shin Godzilla. I really did not enjoy Shin Ultraman. So coming into this one, I was the guy's got a record of 1-1 with me right now. Is it going to be more like Shin Godzilla or is it going to be more like Shin Ultraman? And so I started watching it. Like I said, it is on Prime Video. It is under the title of Shin Masked Rider, not Shin Kamen Rider. But if you do type in just Shin Kamen Rider, I believe it pops up. But whenever I found out it was under the title of Shin Masked Rider, that's just what I typed in to find it, and it popped up. All I did was just type in Masked Rider, and it popped up, and I watched it. And I enjoyed it immensely. And so today is the day that I'm going to be giving my official review of Shin Kamen Rider. And it is a positive review. There are a few things, just little nitpicky things here and there that I did not particularly care for. But I did like it, like things about it more than what I disliked about it. So I really enjoyed it. It met the hype for me. I was a little concerned and about, it's a little over 2 hours. That's how long the movie is. And I was a little concerned in about the first 45 minutes or so. I was a little worried, like, I don't know if I like the direction that this is going, but they kind of sidestepped, went in a different direction for the remainder of the film. And I ended up really, really enjoying it. And so, all right, let's talk about it. Now, since it is a shorter list, I'm going to talk about the things that I didn't like about the movie before I say what I did like about the film. And obviously, this is a spoiler alert that's being put out right now because I'm going to try not to intentionally spoil anything. But, I mean, I am giving a review of the film, so there will be a few plot points here and there that's going to be talked about and all of that. So that's your warning for the spoilers, and let's move into it. So, things I did not like about it. This one is very, very nitpicky, to be honest with you. The editing was a little botchy to me at times. Like, it seemed like jumping from scene to scene, and I don't know if this was intentional. There was a little bit of this in Shin Ultraman. I do remember that. Things moved very, very quickly, and I believe that editing could have changed that up a little bit, like just to give you guys an idea of what I mean by the editing and things move very, very quickly, is that the film opens up with an action sequence, and there is a wreck, and it involves one of the main characters. It's a female by the name, the actress' name is Minami Hamabe. I suppose, forgive me if I butchered that. She plays the character of Ruriko Midorikawa. Midorikawa. Okay, we'll go with that. Ruriko, that's what we'll call her. But, anywho, so there's a vehicle accident. She crashes. It shows her rolling on the ground. Immediately the next shot is a bad guy grabbing her. Immediately the next shot is six bad guys carrying her, and then immediately the next shot is she's laid down in front of, you know, the main bad guy, I guess I could say, of this particular segment of the film and all of that. And it all of that happens in a span of about 2 seconds. Like, it was just boom, 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 boom. And then, you know, so I was kind of like, you know, I mean, it is, you know, depending on your artistic appreciation, I suppose you might enjoy that kind of thing. I wasn't super thrilled with it, but again, very nitpicky. Nothing that really takes away from the movie for me. Now, something else I did not care for, the film. And I'm not going to lie, I've already started rewatching the film. While I was kind of putting my notes together for this, I turned it on just so I could be watching it here and there and all of that. And I kind of got sucked in. I'm not going to lie. Like, whenever I was doing my notes, I looked up at one point just to watch, and I ended up watching uninterrupted for probably about 30 minutes or so. And I was like, ah, crap, I got to do my notes, you know? So the movie really drew me in even for a second time. And I had to force myself to stop watching it so that I could take my notes for this episode. But the early formula that they used for this movie, I did not particularly care for, and I'm going to explain why. So, you guys know one of the main issues that I had with Shin Ultraman was its episodic style of film that they shot it in. That the best way that I know how to describe that movie to people is it was almost as if they hired this guy to do a Shin Ultraman TV series. He shot like 4 episodes, and then they said, you know what, never mind, we don't want this to be a TV series, we want it to be a movie, and so they just combined all the episodes together. There was nothing that really tied them together other than Ultraman. There was no overarching story. There was, you know, nothing. It's essentially 4 episodes just slapped together. just four like unrelated episodes slapped together, and I did not care for that. And it kind of seemed like they were taking that approach with this film very early on. Because the whole gist of the movie is that there's an organization called Shocker. You know, and you guys, anyone who's a Kamen Rider fan knows about this. I talked about it in my Kamen Rider episode and all that, but I'm just going to do a quick rehash. There's an organization by the name of Shocker, and they take individuals and they create augmentations. And they pretty much splice the genes or the abilities and things like that of certain animals with humans, and it gives these humans superhuman capabilities and all of that. The Masked Rider, or Kamen Rider, he is augmented with a grasshopper. He can jump super, super high. They all pretty much have a level of super strength, and so he's combined with a grasshopper. That's why his helmet looks the way it does, with the big bug eyes, the antenna. You know, like, you can kind of see some little wings, like, on his back and everything. He's the grasshopper aug in this particular franchise. And there are other bad guys that are augmented like him that Shocker did with other animals. The first villain that he goes up against in this film is the spider aug. There is a bat aug. There is a scorpion aug. There is it was either a wasp or a bee. I can't remember which one. Maybe it was a butterfly. It was something like, I don't know. It was a woman. I can't remember exactly which aug she was, but it was some other type of bug and all of that. And so that's pretty much the gist of what's going on. And so in the beginning of the movie, everything is pretty much told like, hey, this is what's going on. Shocker created you, but you were able to escape, or we helped you escape. And now we want to go after Shocker, and we have to take down these other augmentations that they have created. And so about the first 45 minutes, maybe even about the first half of the movie, is just, it's kind of in the vein of Shin Ultraman, in which it's basically little itty bitty episodes that are slapped together of them going up against the different augs, hunting them down, encountering them, beating them, defeating them, and all of that kind of stuff. And each portion is, I would say, 15 to 20 minutes a piece or something like that. I was a little concerned while watching the film, to where I'm like, man, I hope the whole movie isn't like this, to where it's like a 2-hour TV series that's broke down into like 15 to 20 minute episodes. Like, that's just genuinely how I felt. I really was hoping that that was not the case. But I wouldn't have minded as much if they did it like that versus how they did it with Shin Ultraman. Because at the end of the day, in Shin Kamen Rider, there was an overarching story. He's specifically hunting down different augs to try and bring down Shocker, the organization, and all of that kind of stuff. And it was just showing him going up against different ones and all of that, to where it's like, you know, I wish that they could spread that out a little bit more. Maybe didn't come up with quite as many augs that was in the film and all of that, just to kind of, you know, make it seem like you're not watching a 15 or 20 minute episode of a TV show while you're, you know, watching a movie. But probably at about the 50 minute mark or something like that, they kind of deviate away from that, and it actually becomes a very cohesive narrative, to where it plays out more like a movie would, as opposed to a TV show that was slapped together into a movie or something like that. So I was very concerned with the early formula, but now that I know how it is and all of that, I can overlook it a little bit better and all that. I mean, I certainly did whenever I was rewatching it just prior to the beginning, doing this episode and all that. But yeah, so that's something I didn't care for. And the last little thing that I didn't care for was the special effects. But the special effects are kind of low due to the budget. It didn't have the biggest budget in the world. And whenever I mean special effects, I'm not talking about like practical effects, like the combat scenes or the, you know, anything dealing with like vehicles and stuff like that. I'm talking about CGI. Because there was a pretty good chunk of the movie, whenever fight scenes would happen and all of that, And they would, in place of using practical effects or the actual actors or anything, they would just make the fight be completely CGI. I don't have a problem with that, but because of how low their budget was, the CGI was not the best. Almost to the point where it was very jerky. It wasn't very smooth. It wasn't like I don't know. It's like it could have used a little bit more finishing touches, in my opinion. But again, it wasn't bad enough to really detract me from the film. And I'm not gonna lie, guys, that pretty much does it for the things that I did not care for the movie. So let's jump into things that I did like about the movie. First and foremost, the amount of action that is in this film. There is a good amount of fight scenes. It's very brutal. It's very violent. It's very bloody. Like, I mean, there are scenes where the rider is fighting bad guys, like the little grunts of Shocker, and he knocks one of them down to the ground, and there's a scene where he literally just walks over and stomps on the guy's head. And you actually see they used a type of practical effect to make it to where it looked like his head was crushed. Red liquid flew out, you know, to symbolize blood and all that kind of stuff. Like, he just simply crushed that guy's head. And it showed it. It did not shy away from it. And there are plenty of fight scenes where it literally shows him, like, punching people so hard their heads explode and stuff like that. Like, I mean, it was very violent. And, you know, the original show was extremely violent as well. I believe it's either the second episode or the third episode of the original series. He's up on a building, on like the roof of a building, and he's fighting some grunts. And it would show him punch them or something like that, and they would fly off of the edge. And because of the effects that they used at the time, they would just simply show the concrete down there on the bottom, and they just threw like some red paint down there to symbolize that they hit the ground so hard their bodies just exploded and all that was left was blood. Very, very violent back then. And it's very, very violent today. I don't have a problem with that kind of stuff. I know that some people get very squeamish and they get very grossed out by things like that. So depending on how strong your stomach is and you can tolerate people's heads being crushed and their chest getting punched so hard that blood just comes flying out of their back and stuff like that. Depending on how well you can handle all that, depends on how you're going to handle the action of this movie. Because it is very bloody, very gore, like, or has gore-ish, gory, maybe. I don't know. Gory. We'll go with that one. But yeah, it's very violent. So if you're into that kind of thing, you know, it's probably not going to bother you. If you're pretty squeamish and you don't like, you know, like bodily fluids and things like that, you might have a hard time watching some of the fight scenes and all of that in here. Speaking of fight scenes, the fight choreography was, we'll say I didn't necessarily like it, but I didn't necessarily didn't like it. So we'll say I was unbothered by it. Like, you know, you go to watch like Shin Kamen Rider, and you would think that it's going to be a tad bit more martial arts heavy. A lot of it was like, as far as the fight choreography goes, it was very slow. It could be kind of sloppy at times. It really the characters were really more brawling sometimes than they were actually fighting with technique and all that. And as a former martial artist, whereas, you know, I used to practice martial arts and all of that, I am kind of big on fight choreography and all of that kind of stuff. And so whenever I do see something that looks a little sloppy, it doesn't necessarily bother me to the point to where I was like, oh, this movie's garbage or something like that. But it is something to where I'm like, man, I wish they could have fine-tuned that a tad bit more. But it wasn't nothing that really took me out of the film. Like I said, I didn't like it. I didn't dislike it. I was just very unbothered by it. Now, the story. I've really enjoyed the story for this film, the whole overarching story and all of that. You know, it was all connected. Again, I hate to keep comparing it to Shin Ultraman, but, you know, it is part of the same universe as Shin Ultraman. But, like, you know, Shin Ultraman did not have an overarching story. It was just this section, then that section, then that section. Like Shin Godzilla, this one has an overarching story. It has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end, it has an end game that all the protagonists are trying to work towards and all of that kind of stuff. So, I'm very glad that it had the story. The acting was very, very good in this. The main character that plays the masked rider, the actor's name is forgive me, I'm going to butcher this, is Sosuke Aikimatsu. We'll go with that. And he plays Takashi Hongo, who is the masked rider. He was easily the standout in this film. He did very, very good. I really enjoyed his performance. I thought he was fantastic. The girl, I mentioned her name a little while ago. The actress is Minami Hamabe, and she plays Ruriko. That's who she plays, and she was very good. She's a beautiful girl. I had no problem watching her on screen. We'll say that she was very lovely. She acted very, very well. She really gave off this big persona of like strong, independent woman. Like, don't mess with me. Like, she could take care of herself. She was very intelligent and all of that. She did very, very well. Really enjoyed her character. And the other main character that I'm going to talk about is, spoiler alert, the actor's name is Tsuka Emoto, and he plays Hayato Ichimonji. And that is Kamen Rider number 2. So that was a good nod to the original series, because you guys remember that whenever I was talking about the original series, when I did an episode on it, that the main actor got injured while filming an episode very early on in the series, and he had to step away from the show for a good while. So they brought somebody else in to be the masked rider, and so they put it in the narrative that an actual second rider came in and he took over. And then whenever the main actor was good enough to take back over again, they kind of, it was both of them for a little while, and then it went back to just the main actor and all of that. And so they incorporated actually having a second rider in this film, and I really, really enjoyed that. I thought it was cool. I thought the dynamic between the two of them, whenever they were interacting together, was really cool. I thought they really worked together. They had good chemistry together, the actors and the characters. So I thought all of that worked very well. And then the last thing that I'm really glad that they did, that I thought was really cool, was the amount of Easter eggs that they threw in to the original series, down to the music, the sound effects, the fact that they had a second rider and all of that. There was just, I'm not going to get into a whole lot of it, just simply because, I want to avoid as many spoilers as I possibly can. But there are a bunch of Easter eggs in this movie to the original series, to where it really feels like you're just simply watching an updated episode of the original series. And they did very, very well with that. And the villains that was in the film, I did like a pretty good chunk of the villains, like the Spider Og that is pretty much the first main bad guy of the film. He doesn't stick around very long, but he was very interesting. I liked his costume. That's another thing I really liked. I loved the costume designs that was in this movie. It was fantastic. All the masks that they had, the different types of outfits that they had. It was very colorful and all of that. Just very much enjoyed all the costume department, that everything that they threw together for this movie. There are different augmentations that are in the film. The first one that we encounter is the Spider Og. And then obviously our protagonist is the Grasshopper Og. And there's all, oh, I believe I've already talked about this, but there's like a Scorpion Og, a Bat Og. The Bat Og, he was one of the ones that, like, it was kind of like, let's say if, like, whenever I said that it's like they were doing very short, like 15 to 20 minute episodes, for about the first 45 to 50 minutes of the movie. The Bat Og would have been episode number 2. And in order for him to work, because he is a bat, once his wings come out and he starts flying, he is almost primarily CGI. And this is where, like, a lot of the CGI blunders really took place, it looked very, very fake, extremely like cartoony and all of that kind of stuff. Just if you ever watch the movie and it comes to the Bat-Og, mind you, they did not have the biggest budget in the world, so they were trying to, you know, they did what they did, what they could with what they did, you know what I mean? And so I don't fault them for that, but like still, you know, like you see the Bat-Og and like you will sit there and be like, that is quite possibly some of the sorriest CGI I've ever seen in a film, which does not take away from the film in the slightest, but you know, and I hate to even complain about it because I know their budget wasn't the largest, so, but I can't help it. I just didn't care for the way that it looked. Overall, I really, really enjoyed the film, and I will recommend it to anybody, whether they are a tokusatsu fan or not. Now, obviously, it would help if you are a tokusatsu fan because of the amount of Easter eggs and the style that they shot the movie in. It's very much in the style of the original TV series and all of that, and so if you're not very familiar with Japanese filmmaking at the time and the way that, you know, like the camera work and camera angles and all that kind of stuff, you may not be super crazy about this movie, but if you are a big fan of classic tokusatsu TV series and movies and things like that, this film is right up your alley. So ranking it out of 5 stars, I would honestly give it a 4. Honestly. As far as the big three goes, you know, it was Shin Godzilla, then Shin Ultraman, and now Shin Kamen Rider. Shin Godzilla, in my opinion, is the best. Like, that's just all it is to it. You guys know I love Shin Godzilla. It was a fantastic film. It is the best. Shin Kamen Rider is right underneath it, as far as I'm concerned. And then Shin Ultraman is, you know, way down at the bottom. But, this was a fantastic film, I believe. Especially, you know, you guys are my crowd. You guys, you know, you listen to this podcast because you're into movies like this and all of that. So you definitely give the film a shot. I think you would really, really enjoy it. And yeah, let me know what you think about it. You know, just shoot me a message on any of my social medias or, just reach out to me in some kind of way or whatever, and let's talk about it. Let me know what you thought about it. I thought it was a fantastic film and all of that. Very, very good movie. Gonna go ahead and let you guys know it wastes zero time getting into the action. Zero time. Like, the very first opening scene is the beginning of an action scene. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. So I would, yeah, definitely 4 out of 5 stars. Really recommend it. Go check it out. So, alrighty, guys, that pretty much does it for my review of Shin Ultraman. Not Shin Ultraman, of Shin Kamen Rider. I am planning on doing a weekly Kaiju Havoc this Wednesday. I've got plenty of news that I want to talk about and everything. Some Godzilla Minus One things, some action figure releases and stuff like that. So tune in this Wednesday for the weekly Kaiju Havoc. And then I will announce then what movie I'm going to be covering next Saturday, which is 6 days from today. So, alrighty, guys, thank you all very much. You guys are awesome. Check me out on all of my social medias. On Facebook, I'm Kaiju Carnage, your Godzilla/King Kong podcast. I have a Godzilla Ultima fan page. And on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, I am Cal, the Kaiju guy. And if you haven't checked me out on TikTok yet, please do so. I posted a video either yesterday or the day before that for some reason it has completely blown up. And I don't know why. My TikToks usually average anywhere from like 250 to about 400 to 500 views. This one, out of nowhere, it was just simply me showing that Hobby Lobby had some model kits on sale, and this was the new kits that they had. It's like 15 seconds long. That video is at like 100,000 views, and I don't know why. But I'm not complaining. I've gained almost, you know, like 150 followers off of it. So, you know, that's pretty cool. So if you haven't checked me out on TikTok, by all means, go do so. I'm probably more active on TikTok than I am on anything else right now. So by all means, go check it out. So, alrighty, guys, we will catch y'all this Wednesday for the weekly Kaiju Havoc. This is Cal, the Kaiju guy, signing out.